his cash is saying we're going to shut down disinformation and memes and whatnot, clickbait, you have the president posting hilarious memes poking fun at his political enemies.
People don't realize how much power they hold. They're always seeking for permission from the same, you know, corrupt organization that put them in the mess that they're in.
I think we're day three of the government shutdown. It's been tough, though. Like, I don't have water. I don't have electricity. I don't have food. I mean, my kids are, you know, it's bad.
If you bring this to the U.S. with your 400 or 500 million privately owned assault weapons, well, I mean, I'll leave it to your imagination to see, like, how far that goes and how bad it gets.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Greer here with me. Guys, let's jump in here. Okay, up first, we've got FBI Director Cash Patel says social media is out of control and that the U.S. government must intervene to address clickbait and misinformation. Sounds a lot like the UK. Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first, man. We've been talking about government authoritarianism for, I feel like, on every episode lately. What do you think is going on?
I think someone's replacing the G in MAGA with a C. Make America China again. So this is crazy, man. This is absolutely nuts how things are deteriorating very rapidly in the U.S. And, you know, I suspect all of this at the end of the day is, you know, again, connected to the money. You know, now we have an alternative. People are waking up to it. The dollar is tanking. Nobody wants it. They can't even sell, you know, their debt. Countries are opting out. People are becoming aware of Bitcoin's existence, they're opting out. And so they're desperate. They're desperate and probably frightened like they've never been before, because now for the first time ever, the threat is real. It's not imaginary. They are being replaced and obsoleted in real time by something that they cannot stop or control. And so their only hope in hell is to, you know, I guess, attack the people and lock you down in an ecosystem or environment where you have no access to this information. And so they hopefully, you know, nobody pays attention to it because they just can't see it. I don't know how well that works, but again, you know, like, I mean, you try to suppress, you know, long enough and you bully hard enough, at some point it's going to blow up in your face. And that's the scenario that, you know, I don't want to see. But if, you know, the trajectory keeps getting worse, like it is in the UK, I mean, I think they're just like, you know, like a needle away from a massive civil war in the UK. And if you bring this to the US with your 400 or 500 million privately owned assault weapons, well, I mean, I'll leave it to your imagination to see see like how far that goes and how bad it gets.
Yeah, it's the sad thing about this is a point that we always reiterate, and it's that most people hear this and they say, oh, if it stops, you know, someone being radical from being radicalized, then it's worth it. And they don't realize what it is that they're giving up. Greer, before I ask you to chime in, I'm going to share this next one because it's related. You sent me this. Simon Dixon talked about sequencing matters. So we start with Palantir style surveillance, digital ID, then on to CBDCs and stablecoins. Number four would be social credit scoring. And he talks about how, you know, you can justify these by, you know, waves of immigration, orchestrated civil unrest, global financial crisis, and a CBDC bailout. And then there's nothing more needed once you have surveillance IDs and programmable money in place. So maybe you could comment sort of on the breadth of everything I've just described here, what you see happening here in the States.
Yeah, this is the roadmap, right? I mean, it's right here for everyone to see. And I think it makes a lot of sense when you break it apart this way. The reason the U.S. has a Second Amendment is because the First Amendment is so important. You cannot limit speech, even speech you don't like. I'm sorry, we have to live with it. And going after clickbait, the reason clickbait exists is because we like clicking on it. You're not going to take that away from us. So whether or not, you know, they have no power over this, I think to me, this is just an authoritarian government flexing its muscles a little bit. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, as Cash is saying, we're going to shut down disinformation and memes and whatnot, clickbait. You have the president posting hilarious memes, poking fun at his political enemies. This is the free market of ideas. Let the best idea win. And I think the radicalization is not happening on on one side of the aisle. It's limited to the intolerant left. So I don't think that this is the right way to go about it. But as Tony said, the money is broken, and when the money breaks, society starts to break apart. So we're seeing the effect of that, and this reaction of we need to stop things we don't like is completely misguided.
So the other thing that's a shame is if we look at our next story, we look at the furlough numbers, is that the FBI and Justice Department only have 11% of staff furloughed during the government shutdown. The good news, though, is that the EPA, one of my least favorite agencies of the federal government, has lost almost 90% of its staff to being furloughed. So the government shut, I think we're day three of the government shutdown. It's been tough, though. Like, I don't have water. I don't have electricity. I don't have food. I mean, my kids are, it's bad. So, Greer, as someone who's having to live through this hellhole, why don't you tell me what you think about the government numbers?
Yeah, everyone wants daddy government to save them. Let the shutdown continue. I like this. I see the Department of Education has furloughed 87% of its staff. I'm not sure if that's 100% correct, but yeah, I think we need less government. We need the free market, and we need people acting in their own self-interest. So that means being able to transact how you want, starting families, starting businesses. The government should not be picking winners or losers, and they've made a long history of doing that. So let's keep it shut down. I want to see how small we can make government. Ultimately, that will be better for every person who lives in this country.
Yeah, Tony, what's your view from abroad?
LeBron is like, everybody's euphoric that the government is shut down. So yeah, keep it down for as long as possible. I mean, the rot in the system is so bad that, you can't cut enough out of it to make it good again, anytime soon. The whole thing needs to be formatted completely. So I don't know how feasible that is, but again, we have an option now. You don't even have to deal with it anymore. Just opt out, move into another system that has nothing to do with the current one, and that was created to obsolete them. People can do this, but the problem is people don't realize how much power they hold. They're always seeking for permission from the same, corrupt organization that put them in the mess that they're in. This is the funny situation. So from the outside, the numbers speak for themselves, man. If I see it, everybody sees it. Bitcoin is up, God knows how many percentage points in just less than 24 hours. This is unbelievable.
So while government is asleep, Wall Street is waking up. Mags tweeted, "Can you feel it in the air? There's been a vibe shift." And she shared two tweets from Matthew Siegel. So first one is, Citi introduces a 12-month price target for digital assets. And for Bitcoin, their base case is $181,000. And JP Morgan says Bitcoin is undervalued. If you can believe that, Jamie Dimon's company says Bitcoin is undervalued versus gold and highlights significant upside to $165,000. And the most amazing thing about this whole strategy is that CNBC reports that JP Morgan analysts are calling it the debasement trade when you buy gold and Bitcoin, because they recognize, obviously, the dollar is being perpetually debased. Tony, we've known this for a long time. Wall Street is getting here a little late to the game, but they're catching up. Good for them. What's your take on all of this?
And then they join you. And this is exactly what's happening. And this is exactly what we're seeing here. Of course, they're going to be, bullish on this now, because now they're invested. They've tried everything under the sun to make Bitcoin go away or kill it or, destroy it in whichever way, shape or form. But, none of that works, because fundamentally they're holding the crappy product, the fake money. And eventually, they see that they've hit a wall here. And there's no way forward. Everybody's opting out of the dollar, let alone all these other fiat currencies. And their only hope in hell to maintain whatever, wealth that they hold, well, is going to move into the future of money, which is Bitcoin, the world's neutral reserve going forward. So if they see it now, everybody else must be like scrambling to get as much of it as possible.
Greer, this feels like a good signal to go buy a bunch of ETFs, get some paper Bitcoin. What do you think?
Thanks for that setup. The Bitcoin maximalists are right again. Everybody, as Tony said, is joining the party. And, hey, if you're watching this show, there's a good chance that you have front run Wall Street. and you got to Bitcoin before they did. So that to me is a win. You know, I think the other thing is, like, what else did the Bitcoin maximalists say? You know, they said Bitcoin would be money. And it's right there in Satoshi's white paper, peer-to-peer electronic cash. So, you know, get ready. Everyone's going to adopt Bitcoin, whether they like it or not. It's going to be a store of value, which it is today. It's going to be a unit of account, and it's going to be money. So I think the best thing is to wrap your head around that and find out how much you need based on your circumstances. It's different for everyone. You might only need a fraction of a Bitcoin to survive and escape. So start working on that today.
And by the way, I left one of these Wall Street news bits out. I'll just add this here. We don't need to discuss, but Bloomberg just said Vanguard is considering to allow Bitcoin after huge demand from customers. It's hard to ignore Bitcoin's astounding success. So they are all on board. The Bitcoin maxis have been right all along about just about everything. I'm still waiting for us to be proven incorrect on something. Okay, guys, good news in the Roman Storm case. We'll see how it all plays out, but this is from The Rage. New Roman Storm files motion for acquittal on all counts. The government failed to provide sufficient evidence of illegal conduct and would criminalize the publication of decentralized software in violation of the First Amendment. And they link to their story. Tony, I imagine this is a bit of news that excites you.
Yeah, man, this is good news. I'm happy this guy is, you know, hopefully going to get on with his life, you know, after this bullshit accusation that's been thrown at him. Again, these was all past attempts to kill the very threat to the current organization by, you know, going after the devs, hoping they're going to scare other devs and, you know, organically that way, you know, like stop the movement to create better money. But clearly that failed and has only gotten worse for them, which is why now even the biggest, you know, haters of Bitcoin are now embracing it wholeheartedly. So I'm very happy for Roman. I hope, you know, this chapter gets thrown into his past and he can move on and live, you know, happily ever after.
Yeah. I happen to know from a reliable source that after Trump turns off Fox News, he listens to Bitcoin Banter. So Donald, if you're listening, just do us all a favor, give these guys a pardon. Samurai Dev, same thing. Anyone who was a part of Operation Chokepoint 2.0. Agree. You have anything you want to add to that?
No, this is a great story. I mean, I agree. I'm happy for him. And I think the key here is you cannot stop decentralized ideas. So a huge win. And hopefully this will just be the start of a new life for him.
All righty. Up next, Naval Ravikant agrees with Tony. He says stablecoins are just CBDCs with extra steps. Tony, you've been saying that for quite some time. Good to see Naval spreading the message to the folks in his orbit. I think this is an important point he's making and one that obviously you've made many, many times. We've talked about on the show. But it's good to see that someone sort of outside of, you know, the Bitcoin maxi circle with a very large audience is sharing that as well and maybe raising awareness.
Absolutely, man.
Would you add anything to that?
No, man. I mean, the writing's on the wall. Stable coins are nothing more than CBDCs whose switch hasn't been turned on. And that switch is going to be flipped at some point when the timing is right. So if you don't want to be caught up in that, don't put your savings in a stable coin thinking it's the safer bet. It is absolutely the worst decision you can make, in my opinion.
Yeah. And just to be clear, for anyone listening, when he says extra steps, don't think that means it's so much harder that government's not going to utilize or co-opt stable coins, because I think that's probably in the very near future.
One second. That's how fast it takes. It's 1 second. It's literally a button and it's done.
It's a phone call.
not even. It's a button. They just have to click it to activate it. That's it.
Get ready. Greer, what do you think?
I'm sympathetic to people in Venezuela who have to use Tether or stable coins to escape their, you know, inflating currency. I think that stable coins are a step to Bitcoin in the most optimistic point of view. But ultimately, yeah, a stable coin is it's an air token, right? And with the United States and the Genius Act, it's forcing any stable coin issuer to purchase U.S. Treasury debt. So if you live in another country or even in America, are you interested in holding the U.S. debt as your unit of account? That doesn't sound very good to me.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Alrighty, guys, some clown world news. So Starknet, I'd never heard of Starknet staking until Greary sent this to me, but you can stake your Bitcoin on Starknet for a 44% yield. Amazing. And here I was thinking I just had to hold it in self-custody. Tony,
please
give a warning.
Please, please don't touch this. You know, with a 10-foot pole, this is like a copy-paste of Terra Luna. For those that were around a few years ago, where does the yield come from? Only God knows. This is like a recipe for disaster. Anyone who is going to be, you know, investing their money is throwing it away, because at some point, if you're not out on time, everything's going to zero.
Yes. Greer.
History does repeat. It doesn't just rhyme. I mean, look at this. So in order to do this, you get access to opportunities across their DeFi ecosystem. Why would you want that? This, I mean, the reason it's 44% is because it's absolutely toxic. If you send your Bitcoin to this address, kiss it goodbye. It is not coming back.
I love it. All righty, guys, last up. So let me just play this video and then we'll talk about it.
The only thing that should double that quickly is the value of Bitcoin. Just kidding. That was a garbage investment and you're an idiot. Bitcoin is just Beanie Babies for tech bros. Look, man, every person I went to high school with was like, yo, Bitcoin is going to change your life. BTC, get on it right now. And I'm like, Tommy Wilson, you work at Office Max. What the fuck are you talking about? By the way, hey, internet comments, it's trading at 6.5K. Go fuck yourself.
All righty. So since Daniel, I think it's Daniel Sloss, since he made this comment, Beanie Babies for Tech Bros, we're up 1,700%. It was trading at $6,500 then. We all get Bitcoin at the price we deserve. And unfortunately, many of his fans and his audience who were laughing along and, you know, clapping, probably didn't buy and haven't seen the 1,700% fiat denominated return. Greer, take it away.
Don't let anyone lie to you about Bitcoin. You know, don't listen to me. Find out for yourself. You know, if I have the lived experience of knowing what Bitcoin has done for me, and I encourage anyone to get on the path where you try to understand what Bitcoin is. Anyone who's going to come out and say it's not going to go up or it's only going to hit a certain number. There have been so many people who have said, you know, Bitcoin will go to zero or will never go above 50 or 100,000. I mean, this thing, in my opinion, is going to be denominated by the total wealth of the world, which is like a quadrillion dollars. If you can't even wrap your head around that number, but everything will be denominated in Bitcoin eventually. So if you listened to him and ignored it, you know, stop listening to people and find out for yourself.
Yeah. Do your own research. This is the sad thing is I wonder how much time this guy had invested in studying Bitcoin. And I can guarantee you it was less than a minute. And he heard about this thing and he made a determination that since he can't see it and he can't feel it and the government doesn't issue it or whatever, zero knowledge of the history of money and how it's adopted, how it monetizes over time. And he's making these statements. And yeah, maybe it's funny if you're someone in the audience who doesn't understand Bitcoin. And so you know, it sort of resonates that it just feels like Beanie Babies. But look at three of the news headlines we talked about: Citi, JP Morgan, Vanguard. Like they're not trading Beanie Babies on their exchanges. You know, they're not offering optionality to their clients for Beanie Babies. And I think some of this FUD is going to continue, though. It may not be Beanie Baby FUD, but it'll be some sort of an attack on, well, it's not going to work because, and we get these in our YouTube comments. So anyone leaving stupid YouTube comments about why Bitcoin's going to be co-opted by the state and the government runs it, like do some research, like understand what open source software is. It's insane at this point. It, you know, at $120,000 a coin that we're still having some of these conversations. So the fact that this was at 6,500 is, it's really no different in many ways. But Tony, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, of course, man. Nothing more to add except, you know, haters gonna hate and the losers are always going to lose. I mean, this clown is part of the club that mocks Bitcoin, thinking, you know, by doing that, somehow people are going to ignore it or somehow it's going to disappear and no one's going to pay attention to it. But, you know, fast forward, give it enough time And they end up being the clowns in the circus where, you know, everybody's now pointing the finger at them. And they've also missed out on, you know, exponential returns. Luckily, you know, we're still very early despite, you know, Bitcoin's, you know, remarkable returns so far. It's nowhere near where it's going. I mean, right now, you know, we're still at the brink of, you know, 8 billion people potentially FOMOing into this, which I think is coming very, very soon, considering, you know, the collapse of societies left and right. It's just a matter of when. And that one, I don't think is going to take that long anymore.
Amen. Well said. Alrighty, for everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. So quick announcement, we've got a couple of big webinars coming up in October. So sign up for our newsletter. That's going to be one of the best places to be reminded of. You'll get an email then to inviting you. We got one with Natalie Brunell and AMA. So bring all of your questions to that. I think it's October 22nd, but again, details will be provided later. And then for our friends down under, if you're in Australia, how to self-custody Bitcoin in your SMSF. We're going to be walking through that with one of our partners, Natalia Clack, and someone who can give guidance on compliance. And of course, we handle the tech and guide you through the process of doing it the right way the first time. So stay tuned for that. Gents, as always, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you. I'm looking forward again to our next session.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.